May the Lord help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 739 to the tune Rhodes 53. Hymn number 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Hymn number 739 to the tune Rhodes 53.
Thank you. May the Lord help us this evening to read from the Holy Word of God. We turn to the book of Judges and we read chapter 5. The book of Judges, chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, Hear, O ye kings, Give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travellers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. Thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a roof to them against Amalek. After thee Benjamin, among thy people, out of Machir came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds, to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay dead. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? her wise ladies answered her. Yea, she returned answer to herself. Have they not spared? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colours, a prey of divers colours of needlework, of divers colours of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun, when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. May the Lord own and bless the testimony of his own word that we have read now, and may the Lord help us to pray. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God, almighty, all glorious, thou who hast all power in heaven and on the earth, we come before thee, Lord, as poor, weak sinners who cannot watch with thee for 1 hour. Nevertheless, O Lord, we pray for that divine power. For where there is a king, there is power. And thou, Lord Jesus, art the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we do pray now that through thy Holy Spirit we may be given that divine power, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we might be lifted above the dust of this poor dying world, and be favoured to sit together in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for this another opportunity, a sacred privilege to come into thine earthly courts for that sacred purpose, to honour the Lord our God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, to honour thee in our worship, in our praise and prayer and preaching. And Lord, do we pray thee, honour us with thy sacred presence, known and felt upon our spirit, that we may indeed be in the spirit this evening and hear the voice of God speaking unto us. May we have a hearing ear, a wise and understanding heart, to know what thy Holy Spirit will speak unto the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And so, Lord, may we not come and go like the door upon its hinges, but may we come seeking for Jesus and to find Thee and to take Thee, Lord, in our hearts, to our homes. Oh, Thou didst favour those two on the Emmaus road with Thy felt presence, just in a fleeting way and manner. But oh, the effect, and Thy conversing with them, oh, the sacred effect upon their hearts. For they did say, did not our heart burn within us? That burning of love, that burning of affection, that burning, that sacred flame of divine desire and love and worship. O Lord, we confess we're not worthy of the least of Thy mercies, but for Jesus' sake we pray that Thou wilt favour us thus. For we feel our poverty and need, we labour under it, Lord, Thou knowest, and so we pray that Thou wilt be our sufficiency, and help us, Lord, this night to praise and honour Thy great and holy name for all Thy mercies and all Thy truth's sake. And oh, to enable me, dear Lord, to set a few sacred things before the hearers this night. May there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. May the word of Thy grace have free course and be glorified. May Thy word, Lord, not fall to the ground, but fall into hearts prepared of God to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. May it be so, dearest Lord. And so we thank Thee that we are safely brought to this Thy cause of truth, and pray that Thou wilt remember each one present. O Lord, Thou knowest the way we take, the path we walk in, the responsibilities and labours that are ours. Help us to execute them in the fear of the Lord, for Thine honour and for Thy glory, and for the good of Thy church in her militant state here in the kingdom of Thy grace. Help us each, Lord, to serve Thee in our day and generation, and grant us that much needed help, that much needed grace, to serve Thee and to honour Thee in our day, as David did, and all Thy dear people, as recorded in Thy word, those generations that have long gone, that cloud of witnesses, Lord, that bore witness to the truth, that Thou art the eternal God, and there is none else. And that cloud, Lord, or that part of the cloud of witnesses, that little part, those that we remember, those that we loved, those whose memory is blessed, O Lord, who we have loved and esteemed for the truth's sake. Oh, what losses, Lord. What losses have been sustained in the Church of God over the years. Yet we thank Thee, Lord, that there is still a little remnant according to the election of grace who desire to serve Thee and love Thee and honour Thee in the Church of God. To this end we pray for all the little hills of Zion. Yea, we pray for this cause of truth here at Maidstone. O Lord, former days as we hear thy report, Lord, were good and blessed days. We thank thee, Lord, that thy Spirit remaineth among them. Oh, what a sacred blessing, Lord, that thy Spirit remains amongst thy people still today. And may thy Spirit abide and remain with us each personally, and unitedly and collectively in the Church of God. Help us, Lord, to fulfill our office. Oh, help us, whatever that office is, to do it with that single eye to thy glory. Remember those, Lord, who have the ministry of thy word committed to our trust. O Lord, the weight sometimes felt upon our spirit is great. O Lord, we need thee to enable us to continue to bring forth things new and old out of the sacred treasure house of thy word. Fill, Lord, the earthen vessels of thy ministering servants. Pour in that they may pour out. And may thy word have free course and be glorified and magnified in the midst of Zion. We pray for our dear friend and brother here in his public ministry, in his private devotions. Be with him, Lord, in his going out and in his coming in from this time forth and to the end of his earthly pilgrimage. Grant him, Lord, souls for his hire, seals to his ministry, that he doth not labour in vain, nor spend his strength for naught. Be with him, Lord, in his ministry here and amongst the churches. And do, dear Lord, remember our friend and brother who has the greater responsibility of the cause on a daily basis, if we could express it thus. O Lord, do help him in that office and responsibility that is his. And may, Lord, all be done to thine honour and glory. May they be at the heart of one man and seek the glory of God in all things. We pray for each one and the dear children that gather with their parents on the Lord's Day. And may, Lord, we each be as little children, who except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, that childlike simplicity. and humility. Lord, do then be with us as we journey on. Sometimes the way is hard and difficult and perplexing. Sometimes with Jehoshaphat we say, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are unto the Lord. Grant that eye of faith, Lord, to be looking to King Jesus. Oh, as we journey on. For thou, Lord Jesus, has the preeminence in Zion. Do have the preeminence in our hearts and reign there. Be with all near and dear unto us by the ties of nature. Children and grandchildren. Oh Lord, do be with them. We beseech of thee and help them in their lives and responsibilities. Be with them in the home with the children. Oh Lord, and in these days of such inflation, oh how they need thee as a God of providence. For the gold and silver, Lord, is thine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. Oh, do supply their every need, according to the royal bounty of thy good providence. We pray that we each might seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. And all these other things shall be added unto us. Remember, Lord, thine afflicted saints. Remember those compassed with infirmities and who labour under these things day by day and know the weariness of the flesh. Oh, Lord, do give grace and strength equal to the day according to thy promise, that as thy day so shall their strength be. And be with all thy dear people in all their tribulations, whatever those tribulations are, may they know thy sacred promise. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Remember our nation, our government, our king, the kingdom of this world. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt stem the tide of wickedness and unrighteousness in this our land. May our government, Lord, be brought to consider the oracles of God and to act accordingly. And oh, remember the newly crowned king and help him, Lord, to keep to that solemn oath that he declared, so that our Protestant constitution may be mercifully preserved and our Christian faith honoured by the King and his subjects. We are exhorted, Lord, to honour the King. Help us so to do and to pray for him. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt lead him in thy truth and teach him and give him gracious understanding concerning the solemn office he holds, and may he seek unto God for all needed help and wisdom. And now, Lord, we thank thee for every providential favour and blessing conferred upon us. Do accept the tribute of our heart for all these things. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, we pray for ministerial grace and God-given ability to own and bless the good hymns that are sung. And oh, may we each be refreshed from the presence of the Lord. We ask all in Jesus' precious name, pleading the precious name and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be cleansed from all our sins and sanctified by that sacred water that flowed from thy riven side. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 232, to the tune Willingdon 815. Hymn number 232. Begone, unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm, though dark be my way, since he is my guide. 'Tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. Though cisterns be broken and creatures all fail, the word he has spoken shall surely prevail. Hymn number 232, to the tune Willingdon 815.
Thank you.
as the Lord shall be pleased to help me this evening, dear friends, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from words to be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and verses 9, 10 and 11. The 9th, the 10th and the 11th verses in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. What brings me, dear friends, to this word this evening is the fact that on Thursday of this week it will be Ascension Day. 40 days from the sacred resurrection of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, in our reading this evening, we have an account of Deborah, who was a mother in Israel, and dear Barak, who was one of the Christian heroes recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. And they went forth and they conquered the king Jabin, who was king of Canaan. They fought that good fight, the fight of faith, and Sisera, the captain of the host, was slain by Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. And so they gained a blessed victory over their enemies. And following this, like dear Moses of old, when the Lord wrought that wonderful deliverance for Israel and destroyed the Philistines, then Moses sang this song, wrote this song, as recorded in the book of Exodus. Now here we have the song, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Now, why I read this chapter tonight, dear friends, is this, because in this song, in this chapter, we have this wonderful verse. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. The Holy Spirit directed Deborah and Barak in this thanksgiving song, and gave to them a gracious understanding concerning the ascension of Christ. Now in the prophecies, oftentimes the prophet, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, testified of the sufferings and death of Christ and the resurrection. But here in the book of Judges we have the ascension. Friends, do you consider that to be wonderful? I do. You see, the holy convocations of God are to be kept, are to be observed. And friends, it's right that we should. A remembrance of what God has done. Now we remember the seventh day, don't we? We remember the Sabbath day, or the first day of the week now, to commemorate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And rightly so. Every Lord's Day, we meet together in the Lord's house for worship. And then there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's the Resurrection. There's the Ascension. There's Pentecost. There's the Feast of Tabernacles. There's Christmas. And these are holy convocations. And friends, they need to be kept. They need to be observed. I wonder how many in our land today know the holy convocations that God has set before us in His Word and the significance of them. Friends, what a wonderful significance there is here in this that we have read. And lead thy captivity captive. Oh, friends, Christ has led captivity captive and given gifts from men, even for the rebellious also. So this is confirmed by the psalmist, and he said in Psalm 57, "Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early." And then in Psalm 47, he says, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. This was ascension, friends. This was ascension. And the beautiful chapter 68 testifies of the chariots of God of 20,000, even thousands of angels. Thousands of angels attended or sang Hosanna and praised the Lord when Christ was born. That multitude of the heavenly host. And now, at His ascension, thousands of angels, the chariots of God are 20,000. And when Christ comes a second time, He'll come with all the holy angels. And so, dear friends, this verse in Psalm 68 is the same verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And so, friends, it is a sacred convocation, a sacred, glorious truth, the ascension of Christ. And He had finished His work on earth. Have finished His work of redemption and salvation. And then for 40 days He was with His apostles and others to give to them sure and certain evidences of His resurrection. I wonder, friends, in the 40 days that have followed the resurrection, whether the Lord has spoken to us, whether He's made Himself known to us, whether He's given to us a blessed proof and a sure and certain testimony of our own personal interest in that finished work when He cried, "It is finished," on the cross. Friends, these are vital matters. We're dying sinners and we need the testimony of Jesus Christ wrought in the heart by the Spirit of truth to give that blessed assurance of our own personal interest in what Christ has done. Friends, we must not neglect these things. We must lay them to heart. We must seek unto God for a sweet and blessed assurance of our eternal safety in Christ. Yes, we are dying sinners, aren't we? and we need reality. When one is buried, sometimes the minister is unable to say, through the witness of the Spirit, sure and certain hope. Friends, if their testimony is founded on truth, then it is a sure and certain hope of eternal, a glorious resurrection. Well, because Christ is risen. So it's not the word of man, it's the testimony of God. It's the testimony of heaven. So we come to these words. And friends, what it sets before us is this: the true, blessed, ordained means of the preaching of the gospel. The last thing that Jesus spake before he went up, before he ascended, and when he had spoken these things, what were these things? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Witnesses. Witnesses of Christ. The witness that the Spirit gives. And friends, Jerusalem, yes, that's the city of truth. That's where Christ was crucified, just without Jerusalem's gate. And then in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's no part of the earth where the gospel will not go. Now friends, this is the last thing that Jesus said. And to my mind, it sets before us the vital importance of the ordained means of the gospel. The preaching of it. It's ordained of God. It's not ordained of men. And this is what puts the seal upon it. And this is why it continues. And this is why it will continue. Because the Lord has ordained that it should. Oh, to call his dead elect. To revive his dear people when they are in a low place. And all that we need to give those tokens of his grace and love. To give that as he gave to one of old, the fleece wet and the fleece dry. Those confirmations and consolations, they come through the preaching of the gospel. Blessed be his holy name. Now, as it comes to mind, of course in the Old Testament we had one who went to heaven by a whirlwind. And that was dear Elijah. Elisha was there and witnessed him going up. What is thy desire? Ah, he desired a double portion of thy spirit. A double portion. Friends, have you ever desired before the Lord a double portion of his spirit? And you see the wonderful effect of that in Elisha's life and in serving the Lord as he did. Oh friends, he was strong in the might of God's power. Now Elijah had times of what I would call a depression or oppression, but not dear Elisha. He had a double portion. Now friends, what about you and me? Have you times of depression or oppression, as the word of God says? You get very low, faith is tried, Satan tempts. Or you wonder where the scene will end. What do we need, friends? What's the secret? A double portion of thy spirit. That's the secret, friends. Oh, covet earnestly the best gifts. No greater gift, friends, is there? Oh, the two sacred gifts, blessedly joined in God, in Christ, the gift of his well-beloved Son, and the gift of God's Holy Spirit. that he's given to the church of God to enable them to continue in the Christian faith, in the doctrines of our most holy faith. So, dear friends, the ministry. One went before like this, dear godly, gracious Elijah as he was. But look what happened when Jezebel came, Ahab's wife, threatened him with death. Threatened him with death. He fled. He said, Lord, it is enough. Take away my life. But the angel of the Lord came to him and strengthened him. Go in this thy might. He went in the strength of God's word many days. And friends, sometimes the Lord favours us to go in the strength of his word many days. Oh, have you ever never known it, friends? I'm sure you have. The strength of his word has carried you many days. Well, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, this was the apostles, while they beheld, he was taken up. His work here was complete. His work here was done. And now he returns to glory. He returns to the glory of heaven. And we see the exercise of soul for the Lord's dear people concerning his ascension. And it's this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We've got to hold fast our profession of faith. And friend, we can, because Christ has ascended to glory as our great high priest. And he's entered heaven itself. Yes, entered heaven itself. And there, as our advocate, as our great high priest in heaven, he's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Now, as a result of this glorious fact, this glorious truth, this glorious doctrine, hold fast our profession. To profess the name of Christ. Whether a disciple who has made a public profession or whether one of the secret disciples, you're still holding fast our profession of his great and holy name. Well, dear friends, this will enable us to hold fast. Hold fast, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that you were purchased and redeemed with Christ's precious sin-atoning blood. So you see, he's entered heaven. Our great high priest, he's touched with our infirmities, the feeling of our infirmities. Friends, he knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knew temptation in the wilderness. After he was baptized by John in Jordan, then he received the divine approbation of God the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the approbation of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God like a dove, lighting upon him. And then we read this, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, friends, he understands the path that we walk. He understands it because he's walked the same himself. He knows what sore temptations are, for he has felt the same. Touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. Oh, this is our great high priest. And there he represents his church. His church on earth. He represents them in heaven. And Christ is represented here on earth by his Holy Spirit. You see, friends, the sacred, deep, precious things of God. Oh, we need to ponder and consider the ascension. The psalmist asked the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is King Jesus. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. King Jesus, friend, he enters in. He has entered in for the purpose, or one of the sacred purposes, to be our great high priest. Now the high priest under the old dispensation, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once every year on the Day of Atonement, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the sins of the people, setting forth that Christ would enter into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, there to intercede for us. And friends, the Lord Jesus, as our great high priest, can save to the uttermost. Yes, them that come unto God by Jesus Christ, to the uttermost. The truth of God is to go right through the world. His sovereign power can save a sinner at the ends of the earth, sunk in sin and nature's mire, like the prodigal went into a far country and wasted his substance with rioters, living as far from God as sheep can run. And yet Christ Jesus, you see, he can save to the uttermost and return and bring back a sinner to his feet. Oh, what beautiful scriptures they are. What sacred truths they are. A blessed testimony. And friends, it's applied to your heart by the Spirit. What a blessed testimony you have within your own heart and your own conscience and upon your own spirit. And it's the witness of the Spirit with your spirit that ye are the children of God. Then you can cry, Abba, Father, my Father. What did the Lord Jesus say to Mary? Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. At his resurrection, I'm not yet ascended. I must spend 40 days with my dear people, or some of my dear people. 40 days. And of course the apostles then could give that blessed ministry. They could further their ministry. It's a further dimension. They could preach a dear Redeemer who's risen and exalted. It was a dimension, a further dimension to their ministry. Indeed it was. And under the influence of the Spirit, friends, the Lord gives an added dimension to the ministry of his servants. When a minister goes into the ministry, he doesn't know all the counsel of God. The Lord has got to lead, and in that leading he teaches and instructs further. And that's an added dimension to the ministry. We don't know it all, friends. No. The Lord Jesus said, search the scriptures. Search. Friends, it's one thing to read. It's another thing to search. Have you never searched the scriptures? Have you not been in such a strait, in such a place? Oh, you needed the Lord. And you searched diligently. And the Lord opened a word to your understanding and blessed it to your soul. And that is a sweet and blessed hope in your soul now. Because it's an eternal word. Verity and truth. So he was taken up. He that descended is now ascended to glory. A cloud received him out of their sight. Well, our mind goes really to the Mount of Transfiguration, when those favoured disciples and apostles were with the Lord. And what took place? A cloud, you see, received him out of their sight. And the Lord used a cloud in that particular, and he used a cloud received him out of their sight. So while they beheld, he was taken up. They saw him. How can one express it? In the beginning of his ascension. And then a cloud received him. And they couldn't see him. But they witnessed the Lord leaving Mount Olivet. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, at the resurrection we read concerning these two men, or two angels in white apparel. They were there in the sepulchre, and they spake to those gracious women. Whom seek ye? He is not here. He is risen. Well, here then, there were these two men stood by them in white apparel. Angelic, I would judge in their form. And what did they say? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? It seems to my mind, as the Lord sets before us this truth, looking steadfastly is one thing, and that's good. But gazing is something different. If you go to the book of Exodus and Sinai and Moses, God set a bound around the mount. And if one broke through that and gazed upon the mount, They died. They died. We read also concerning gazing, those that suffered reproach for Christ's sake. They became a gazing stock. Both by reproaches and afflictions. And I believe it's absolutely right to say that Jesus Christ on the cross, to those unbelieving Jews and the chief priests and those that came and mocked him and reviled him, I believe Christ to them was a gazing stock. And they gazed upon him in their anger, in their enmity, in their hatred, in their malice. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And sitting down they watched him there. It seems to me that was a glare, that was a stare, that was a gaze, and that was done out of contempt and malice. Friends, here they were gazing up into the heaven. It's not for us now to gaze into the heaven. I know the Lord Jesus made the heavens and they are his handiwork. But that is not the exercise of a soul, a believing soul. You see, they went back to Jerusalem. They went into the upper room. And they continued in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It's ours to continue in worship. It's ours to continue in serving the Lord. What do we read in the second chapter? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's not for ours, friends, to gaze into the heavens. It's ours to serve the Lord. We read the same in Luke. The Lord was in the sacred posture of blessing his apostles and he went up. He ascended, and they returned to worship and praise and honour the Lord. And that's, friends, that's the requirement of the Church of God today, to praise him, to honour him, to worship him, because he's coming the second time. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. Now, we don't know when that will be. And it's not for us to gaze into the heavens and wait. It's ours to serve him and honour him. There have been those in the certain circles of religion abroad who thought that a certain day Christ was coming the second time, and they went there to wait. And what happened? Nothing. We don't know when Christ is coming the second time. We're not told. It's ours to watch and pray. It's ours to worship him and to honour him and to glorify his great and holy name, because it's the same precious, glorious person of Jesus Christ. This same Jesus is coming again the second time, and he'll come with all the holy angels, and every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Now, when he came the first advent, not every eye saw him, because his glory and his deity was veiled in his holy humanity. But when he comes a second time, his glory will not be veiled. He'll come in all the majesty and power of his glory, and every eye, friends, throughout the whole world will see him, and all the holy angels will come with him. What a day, friends, that will be. The wicked will flee from his presence. that you see the Lord's dear people wait for this day. But we don't wait in gazing. We wait in serving. There may be something, friends, that oppresses your mind, and it seems as if you cannot be free from it. And it's a hindrance in your worship. It's a stumbling block in the way. Friends, it's worship. It's worship on earth. Look at the redeemed in glory. They're praising the King of Kings without cessation, day and night. And the Church of God in her militant state is to do the same in our measure by the power of the Spirit. And so, friends, there may be something that takes your mind and takes your thought and takes us away from worshipping God. We spend so much time on this, gazing upon this stumbling block in your life and in your heart that hinders you in your worship. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. But I say we know not when that will be. But it's ours to serve the living God. Why have we come here tonight, friends? Why have we come here tonight? To worship the Lord our God. That's why. And to lay aside all the weights that so beset us, and all of Satan's temptations and all the vexations in the way, to lay them aside and to exercise our souls into godliness and serving Him. The Lord hasn't told us when He's coming the second time. No man knows. But there's one requirement: to serve the Lord our God with fear and trembling. And thus, in so doing, when the Lord comes, we shall be found in that blessed place of waiting, because we wait upon the Lord in prayer and praise and preaching. We wait upon Him. It's no vain thing, friends, to serve the living God. We serve a living God. King Jesus is alive. Forevermore, evermore, we worship a living God. He was dead, is alive again, forevermore. Well, you men of Galilee, of course, that's where they were, in the Galilee, and in other parts as well, in Israel, in Jerusalem. You can read of all the places they went when Christ was here, and you can read in the Acts where they went following the glorious ascension. So, dear friends, we draw to a close. The time has passed this evening. To remember, to hold fast, to consider the dear Redeemer. Yes, He returned. He said to God the Father, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. And so, everything was completed. Everything was done here below. And He returns. And friends, the day will come. He's gone to prepare a place for you. He's gone to prepare a place. This is a part of the ascension. Gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, what a blessed prospect, eternal glory, to be finished with this poor dying world, this sin-cursed world, and to be forever with the Lord. Amen.
help us to conclude by singing hymn number 1102 to Two Mariners 648. Hymn number 1102. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. Spread the sails and catch the breezes, sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Hymn number 1102 to Two Mariners 648.
Thank you.
grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.